All right, tonight, if you'd please take your Bible and open to the book of Romans, chapter number 16. Romans chapter 16. Hard to believe, but we're already at the last chapter. And this will probably take us at least two Wednesdays, and then we'll go on to another book. But Romans chapter 16, you notice the title on the notes there, Greetings to Brethren. One of the things that you see in this last chapter is the Apostle Paul choosing to mention many, many people that were important to him and important to the ministry there among the church at Rome. And so I put it this way in the introduction. As the Apostle Paul closes this letter, he loves these people through the words he writes by mentioning three different groups of people. Number one, some saints to greet, verses 1 to 16, some sinners to avoid, verses 17 to 20, and then some servants to honor, verses 21 to 27. A lot of names given in this chapter. Notice in verse number 1, it says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaenetus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nerus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. So in these first 16 verses, we have the saints to greet, all right? And Paul mentions, again, several individuals who are very important to him. He starts out by recommending to them a friend. That's verses 1 and 2. And this is a lady by the name of Phoebe, who happened to be a Christian lady, a Christian woman, on her way to Rome, possibly because of business. And Paul describes her, you notice here, as a sister and a servant, a sister in the Lord and a servant of the Lord. She was one that was a Christian who was serving the Lord through her local church, which is, of course, a great place to serve the Lord. And apparently, she was a servant to many, many people. And so Paul recommends her to them that when she arrives there, make sure you receive her in the Lord. And she's assisted and helped so many. Please make sure that you assist and help her in whatever help she needs. And then he goes on to commend many different friends that are mentioned here. Verses 3 to 5, he mentions Priscilla and Aquila. He calls them helpers in Christ. He mentions, by the way, that they hazarded their lives for Paul. Here's something that I might just mention real quickly, and that is when someone is willing to put their life on the line for you, that really is a true friend. You know that? And somebody that you can count on. And they're not just doing it with words, they're doing it with action. They're doing it with their life. Priscilla and Aquila helped other Gentile churches. They apparently had a church in their own home. You know, in this particular time period of history, They did not have large church buildings like America has in many cities. Many of the churches did meet in homes, and they didn't have a lot of the things that we take for granted today. So these folks, Priscilla and Aquila, had a church in their home, and Paul wants them to be greeted especially. And then Epaphras in verse 5, also he was well beloved by the Lord, by Paul, and one of the very first Christians. You notice he's called here the first fruits of Achaia under Christ. So one of the first people to believe in the Lord in that area, and Paul makes note of that. And then verse 6, he mentions Mary, one who bestowed much labor on Paul and his fellow traveling companions. Remember, in his three missionary journeys, he had always other men with him, and she was one who helped them and took care of them and maybe let them stay with her or whatever. But she loved the Lord, and she loved the work of the Lord, and she was doing everything she could to help people like Paul and his companions. Verse 7 mentions Andronicus and Junia, and as best as I could tell, they are believed to be a husband and wife team that are serving the Lord, and they might even be, and some said this, that they were Paul's cousins, and that made me think about this. A lot of times in churches, perhaps you've noticed this through the years, that a lot of times in churches you have more than one member of a certain family. You might have a husband and wife, of course, but you might also have a brother and a sister, or maybe a cousin or a niece or a nephew or something like that. And churches are like that, though, aren't they? Yes, you have individual members, but many times you'll have whole families that are part of a church. And apparently these folks, being cousins or relatives of Paul, Paul thought it important to mention them. They were fellow prisoners, and they were of note among the apostles, according to verse 7. You notice that they are my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ, or saved, in other words, before me. People that were saved before the Apostle Paul was. So they're important folks to the Apostle Paul. Verses 8 and 9, he mentions Amplius, Urbane, and Stachys. Amplius and Stachys were beloved in the Lord. Urbane is called here a helper in Christ. Verse 10 mentions Apelles, who was approved in Christ, one of known integrity and sincerity in his religion, one that had been tried and found true. You know, here's something that's another important thing to mention. To have a testimony where people know that you are an honest person, you are a man or a woman of character, and a man or a woman that is fair and equitable to others and one to be trusted and so forth, that's a good testimony. And this man had that, see, Apelles? And so then it mentions also in verse 10 and 11, Aristobulus, Herodian, and Narcissus. Herodian was believed to be a cousin of Paul. And concerning Aristobulus and Narcissus, some think that they were themselves, perhaps, unbelievers, but within their household there were others who embraced Christianity. And so Paul mentions these two, and it's important to keep them in mind as you think about the church at Rome. Verse 12, Tryphena, Tryphosa, and Persis, three women who labored much for the Lord. Let me just stop here and ask this. Are women important in the work of the Lord?
Yes.
All of the women should have said amen right there. But they are important. They are very important in the Lord. Now, I do believe that the scriptures make it quite clear that men should take the lead, okay? Men should be pastors and deacons and so forth and involved as much as possible. But women are very important in the Lord, and I've seen this through the years that I've been in the ministry. There are sometimes more women that are faithful than men. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
There are many times. It's a kind of a shame, really, in a way, when you think about it. And I realize that men are working and doing other things, but let's be honest, there's plenty of women that are working today. And why is it that many times the women outnumber the men? I'm glad that they're there. I'm glad that they're faithful. I'm glad that they're serving. And apparently Paul was glad that they were serving also. You know, Paul had a testimony among some people that he was not really very favorable towards women. But when you read the list of names here, there's a lot of women that are mentioned, and Paul takes the time to mention them. I don't know that he was all that against women. I really don't. I think it was a false accusation that was put against him sometimes, or a false criticism that was put against him sometimes. It's obviously not true. Tryphena, Tryphosa, and Persis are mentioned here. Rufus is mentioned in verse 13. Said to be a chosen one in the Lord, and Paul considered him to be a very special saint. He mentions here also in verse 13, Rufus's mother. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother. And did you notice this? And mine. Rufus's mother was, of course, a mother to Rufus, but there was a sense in which his mother was also a mother to Paul. Okay, I think that's the idea. That Rufus's mother was also a mother to Paul. And have you noticed this through the years also, that sometimes in churches, especially among the older men or women, they tend to become a mother or a grandmother or a father or a grandfather to a lot of the folks in the church, you know? And that's a good thing. That's a good thing, okay? So she must have been a good Christian mother, of course, to Rufus, but apparently in some manner to the Apostle Paul as well. And then verse 14, 15, and 16, he mentions several others here kind of rather quickly, and I'll just go through them again. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Their names aren't mentioned, but there's other brethren that are there. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nerus and his sister, and Olympus and all the saints which are with them. So there again, many unnamed folks. Verse 16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. All right? Now you understand, of course, that holy kiss that they have is just, and it was common in that area of the world, of course, and still is in some places, where you kiss one another on the cheek, you know, as a form of greeting. We don't do that here in America, but they did there, and in some areas they still do, of course. But many individuals that are named for their services done to the Lord. And you notice one name that's missing in all this is Peter. And I only bring that up because if Peter, who is considered by some to be the first pope, how come his name is not mentioned? By the way, Peter was not the first pope. Okay, but you understand what I'm saying here. The Roman Catholic Church in particular looks at him as the very first pope. And if he was that important at the time that he was alive, then wouldn't he have been mentioned somewhere in the book of Romans? You would think. But of course, he's not mentioned there. And I'm not trying to slight Peter in any way. I'm just saying if he was the first pope, he would have been mentioned. Notice here that they're all encouraged to love and to greet one another. Is it important that when we come to church, we love on and greet one another? It is, isn't it? That we have that family-type atmosphere, that people know that there is at least one place that I can go and I'll be loved and I'll be cared for and people watch out for me and they pray for me and they encourage me and so forth. Just so that you know, and I'm not going to read it right now, but I did hear from Jake. I got a text from Jake, and it wasn't real specific as to when he'd be back in this area, but that he would be back in this area eventually, of course. I encouraged him to make sure and stop by and say hi to all of us, and I thanked him for contacting me, and I was glad to hear from him. But anyway, we need to have this place, don't we? And we need to have this church family where we can be loving each other and taking care of one another. And let me just encourage you with this thought. And that is, we all like to receive that, but don't be afraid to give that. Okay? Because in order for everybody to receive that, we all have to be willing to give that as well and share that with one another. So he has some saints to greet in verses 1 through 16. And I was thinking about this in preparation for tonight. Wouldn't it be, especially in your lifetime, wouldn't it be something special to have your name mentioned in the pages of Scripture? Huh? It would, wouldn't it? And then I thought this too. If we were living when the scriptures were being written, would your name be mentioned? Or mine? I mean, I have no idea, but it would be an honor, though, wouldn't it? To have your name in the pages of scripture? And just think about this, too, thirdly. These people's names are in here now forever. And God's word is eternal. I mean, it's there forever, isn't it? So what an honor to have your name mentioned. And I'm, and, you know, it probably, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't such a big deal when it happened, because these were just letters that were sent to the churches, but eventually became the whole of the canon of scripture, you know, so here it is. Anyway, just a thought that came to mind as I was going through here. Then verses 17, 18, 19, and 20, the tenor of this chapter changes just a little bit, because while he's greeting special saints in verses 1 to 16, in verses 17 to 20, he's warning them, the Apostle Paul is, he's warning them about some sinners to avoid. And you notice there's a caution given in verse 17, and I'd like you to notice this caution with me. Now I beseech you, please notice it doesn't say command, but I beseech you or beg you or I plead with you. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. It's a real strong caution here. It's not a command, but it is a caution. And he's pleading with them and begging them, beseeching them about this matter to take note. You know, the word mark them, it doesn't mean you go up and you put a Sharpie mark on their forehead or something like that. But you take note of them, okay? And at least in your own mind and in your own heart, you have a note, you know, to watch out for that individual. Because why? They're teaching false doctrine. They're teaching things that violate what the scriptures say. Those folks, and Paul wants them to know this, those folks are dangerous. Okay? You've heard me say this before, and I repeat it again tonight. You don't have to have your head and heart filled with all the different doctrines of all the different groups that are out there. It really is going to cause confusion if you try to do that. You can have books that explain what others believe and have them on a shelf somewhere that you can go refer to if you ever run across an individual like that or a group like that or whatever. But what you really should fill your head and your heart with is the truth of Scripture. Because then when you run across the error, it's going to stand out to you. You'll see it. You'll notice it right away because it violates what the scriptures teach. So know, I would say this, know that that danger is out there. And I think that's one of the things the Apostle Paul is trying to get across here. Know that that danger is out there. Not everybody who claims to be following Christ is following Christ. Not everybody who claims to be teaching the Word of God is doing it correctly and properly. Not everybody who claims to be a Christian is a Christian. You know, you have to know that. So mark them which especially cause division, it says. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. And then notice this, and avoid them. You don't get together with them and have coffee with them. You don't get together with them and have lunch with them. You don't get together with them and try to have Bible studies with them. The Bible says avoid them. Now, why? Because their false doctrine is going to infect you. And it's going to hurt you. And it's going to damage you. So, we tend to become like the people we spend time with. We all do. Young or old, it really doesn't matter, male or female. We tend to become like those we spend time with. In fact, everybody here, and I include myself, everybody here is who we are because of the people we listen to, the people we spend time with, the books that we've read, the sermons we've heard, those kind of things. That all makes who we are. And that's why those who teach false doctrine, and like Paul says here, cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, you have to avoid them. That's his warning. That's his caution. Know that that's dangerous. Look at in your notes here, right about the second page, about the middle of that page, number 2 says, Jesus warned us of this in Matthew 18:7, where it says, woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Divisions and offenses are against the doctrine taught in the Scriptures. The going or teaching contrary to Scripture causes divisions. Here's just what we did, okay, just as an example. When we were on vacation, we went to church both Wednesdays that we were gone and all day Sunday when we were gone. We went to churches and we did our best to make sure that they were churches that believed like us. I did research ahead of time and made sure I knew where I was going. You say, why? Because it's too important. Don't take a chance. Please, take this seriously when I say this. Just because the word Baptist is on the sign doesn't guarantee that it's going to be right scripturally. Amen? It's just not. I mean, do some research ahead of time and make sure that you know what you're getting into. And thankfully, and I can honestly say this, and I'm sure you'd agree with me, Sarah, every church that we went to believed exactly like us. You could tell it by the songs that they sang, by the words that the preachers were preaching, and even the fellowship with the people before and after church. You could tell it. They were just like us. You would have gone with me, and you would have been just as comfortable as you are here. Because that's the belief system that they have. So it's very, very important. If you go on vacation, or especially if you move, I would encourage this. If ever you have to move, search out the churches ahead of time. Search out the churches ahead of time. And I mean this. I think this is very important. Make sure there's a good church to go to before you go there. I just believe this. Church is important. And I want to be in a place where I can be fed and nurtured and grow in the Lord. And they believe what's right and teach what's right according to the Word of God. So anyway, back to this verse again in verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. I might say this, and I was going to go on, but I feel like I need to say this. As time goes by, and you and I live our Christian life, as time goes by, people that you at one time knew believed just like you, there will be some that will change. And when they change, you're going to have to make a decision. Do I stay with that close relationship I had before, or do I have to separate a little bit now because they've changed? There are individuals that I went to Bible college with, I couldn't really have close fellowship with right now. Because they've changed. And when I run across somebody who I've known for a long time and they still believe the same thing they believed way back when, I like to tell them, thank you for that. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for staying by the stuff. Thank you for still believing the same thing that the Bible teaches and that you believed long, long ago. Because I've found this to be true. People have changed through the years. You might be surprised, you might not be surprised, but sometimes when missionaries come home from their field where they serve and they visit their supporting churches, sometimes they find out that those supporting churches have changed. And I've had missionaries talk to me with a broken heart and saying, you know, I'm just heartbroken over some of these churches and how they've changed through the years. It's a heartbreaking thing, or it can be, but mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Why? Notice verse 18. For they that are such, the ones that are causing divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, notice this, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Why should you avoid them? Because they're not serving the Lord anymore. They're serving themselves. They're serving themselves. All right? It's really switching masters. Their master is not the Lord Jesus Christ anymore. According to what Paul says here, they serve their own belly. They may call Jesus Lord, but they don't serve him like they once did. Their methods are wrong. They use good words and fair speeches. Did you ever notice how people can be very persuasive with their words even though their beliefs are wrong? I don't know if you pay attention to any of the commercials that are going on right now politically. But wow, they're saying everything they need to say just to get elected. Are you with me?
Amen.
And I don't know about you, but in our home, I usually speak out at the television and say, "You're lying." And the reason I can say that is because I watch them in their past and what they've done, not what they've said, what they've done. Yeah, you're saying the right things now, but what you've done proves otherwise. Anyway, the same thing can be true spiritually, see, in the spiritual realm. So in the Christian realm, they that are such, verse 18, serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches, please notice this phrase, deceive the hearts of the simple. I don't want to be among the simple. I want to be among the wise. And the way to be among the wise is to know the Word of God. Be a man or a woman who knows the Word of God, and especially as it relates to what Paul's talking about here, those that are teaching false doctrine. If you're a man or a woman of the Word of God and you know the Word of God, you're gonna recognize their false teaching right away. It's going to stand out to you. It's going to be something that, I mean, you just know right away, that's not correct. That is not correct what they're saying. And then you know, of course, to avoid them. So by their fair words and, by their good words and their fair speeches, they deceive. Who's the master of deception?
Satan.
That's right. Satan is the master of deception. And he's the one that's causing them to deceive the hearts of the simple. Somebody not too long ago was asking me, you know, why this was happening to them, and I didn't say this to them, but I thought this when they were saying, and I thought, well, if you were more into the Word of God and more into the service of the Lord, maybe the devil wouldn't try to deceive you like he's trying so hard to do. He doesn't. I don't know. Have you noticed this? The devil doesn't usually go after the strong ones. He usually goes after the weak ones. He usually doesn't go after the ones who are strong and mature and standing tall for the Lord and got their roots running deep into the Word of God. He usually doesn't go after those. He goes after the weak ones, the shallow ones. Why? Because he knows he can deceive them and capture their minds and their hearts for his cause. You and I need to be men and women who are in the Word of God on a regular basis. And our roots running deep into the Word of God. And so when that false doctrine comes along, we'll notice that. We'll see that right away. So again, verse 17, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." For, verse 19, "For your obedience," remember he's writing to the church at Rome here, "for your obedience is come abroad unto all men." You know what he's saying there? You guys got a good testimony throughout the land. Don't let these false teachers spoil that reputation. Don't let these false teachers spoil that reputation. "For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you," please notice this, "yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." Men and women who study the Word of God, wise unto that which is good. Not the simple ones that are deceived by the false teachers. Simple concerning, he wants us to be simple concerning evil. You know, it'd be better off, really, that you didn't know some things. Think about that for a while. You and I would be better off not knowing some things. I'm talking about doctrine-wise, you know. Is it important that we really understand all the doctrines of the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses or no? Or the, you remember the Moonies? Followers of Sung Young Moon? You don't have to know all those doctrines. You know, there's books you can purchase and have it on your shelf to refer to when you need to, but you don't need to have all that clouding up your mind. Wise unto that which is good. I'm thinking now about the pages of Scripture and what the Bible says. And simple concerning evil, that which is false doctrine and false teaching and so forth. Simple concerning those things. And notice verse 20. I got to wrap it up here. But and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Are you happy about that? Yeah, me too. I'm looking forward to that day when the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now, we'll come back next Wednesday night, Lord willing, and maybe do a little bit of review and then finish up the chapter. But this is as far as we're going to get tonight. So we've got some saints to greet, but we've also got some sinners to avoid. And I want to encourage all of us tonight to be much like the Apostle Paul in this way, to greet each other, to love each other, to hold them high, to speak well of them, but also to note the false teachers that are out there, and like it says, mark them and avoid them, to know who they are and just, you know, stay away from them. And don't listen to them, don't read their writings and listen to their teachings and so forth, because it will, you know, evil communications corrupt good manners. The things that we listen to will affect us in a negative way if it's the wrong things. All right, so I want to close in a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the prayer requests. Father, thank you for this evening service and for the Bible study portion of our service tonight. Thank you for each one who's here, and I pray that the things that we've talked about tonight will be helpful and encouraging to the folks that are here. Bless, please, our prayer time that's going to follow. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.